And welcome, welcome, welcome to this Tuesday evening session of the Business and Economic Zone. Apologies for starting a little bit late, guys, but I had to, you know, somewhat enact one or other form of a slight revolution here within the, or if I can call it a liberation movement here within the studio, in order to get my colleague Invalde, you know, to wrap up with that very enticing, also highly informative discussion that you just heard there. But we are now on the BEZ, and just before the next ad break actually creeps up on me, we are still going to round up or finish up in terms of where we left off last night with regards to education and its impact on economic progress or economic growth. Now, for much of last night's session, just let me actually put it from the second part of last night's session. I actually went on a little bit of a rant, but it's a needed rant for us, for you, for me, to understand the very obvious perspective and very obvious challenge that Namibia sits with. We are actually sitting with a, with a very challenging battle or journey ahead with regards to our education platform. For once, it would be nice to see a uniform one being provided. But since we do have something known as a democracy, that means anyone can gain access to whatever education level they want and, get skilled up. You might see some imbalance in terms of some people having a specific skill set and other people not having a similar skill sets or a deficiency in some skill sets. But before I get there, that ad break has crept up on me, so we'll quickly go a step into it and then we'll come back right after this.
Kukurugana yowamba, kukuningsa ozere, nukusespika no mpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Ramangako, uwera o HIV. Ayo, kukupoperan, tani kuirugana maokoko. Tokoras gara, ninkawa kurugana yowamba. Mokutura mwe hundiro liye yowamba zuma okoko, zimo guanakoma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero zoe utantandatu zime, tatwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura kwa Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Now, just to indicate again, rules of engagement, you guys can call through here on from 7 o'clock. That's now 15 minutes from now at 083-288-401. Come through, let's have a listen. Let's see what your contributions are. I have to apologize once again. I know it's a habit of mine. I am a creature of habit. But you can come through nonetheless. But if we can, you know, keep it compact, keep it close. 5 minutes, please, guys. I at least want to get three of you in for tonight. But we are still on the question of education. And I'll implore once again, and I'll also draw certain lines and boundaries. Let's try and stay away from the, you know, the prospect that we can't make toothpicks. Second honor that is also, let's look into the education aspect. Look, guys, there's a reason why I am on education, because last week's fourth IR, the whole theme of last week's discussions on the fourth industrial revolution pointed to one massive challenge that we as a country have: education supply, and also the environment, the conducive environment in which education can thrive. Now, it's a big scenario, or a big difference from having to look at countries like Finland, because I have to mention Finland again. At one stage in 2018, I had to go to, was it 2018 or not, 2019? 2019, sorry. I had to go to a seminar with the Finnish embassy here, as well as also representatives from Finland and Finland's education system, were trying to convince the various stakeholders in Namibian education society or education spectrum that the Finnish education system is actually a winning ticket. Now, the winning ticket with regards to Finland is that Finland is a first world country. Namibia, by no terms or by no manner or by no measurement, has ever achieved first world status. If you want to ask me what first world status is, please first go Google it. I'm not going to explain to get into that explanation right now. But I'll show you what a first world country has that Namibia as a developing country, does not have. For example, public transport is affordable in first world countries. Public transport is affordable. Various social safety net components, for example, the moment if you are not employed, the state can look after you. There is a pension scheme which Namibia has. Yes, Namibia is one of a few countries in this country. A few countries on this continent. Namibia and South Africa. I'd stay safe with Namibia and South Africa. I don't know about Botswana. But Namibia and South Africa are one of the few examples I know of that have old age pension. But universal old age pension coming from the state, which is a social safety net. It's a social safety net. Obviously, we have proponents in our country that are aiming to expand that net, that social safety net, for it to become a basic income grant scheme. There is still a lot of discussion going on about that, but I'm convinced. I'll tell you now, I am still convinced, because here on Eagle FM, we've extensively interviewed the various stakeholders, representatives, as well as also the voices behind the basic income grant coalition. The most important thing there is, it is a noble cause. Each one of us can benefit. But, in Europe, and unfortunately this is only in Europe, they have such a scenario. They do have such scenarios. When companies close down or retrench or they start to move, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, or they just close up shop and move out, the state steps in and can look after people. In the UK, they called it the DOLE. D-O-L-E. You can Google it. Search it up. The DOLE was brought in the 1980s when the mining sector, especially the coal mining sector in the UK, was under strain and under challenge. And one other aspect, if you had to look at the story behind that story, was when the Margaret Thatcher government went to war against labor unions in the UK. We also have to identify who are the major players in narratives as well, or in stories as well. And that was the historical context regarding the DOLE. And the DOLE was set up because Margaret Thatcher's government was warned, the moment you do something is the potential in which you can create a socioeconomic catastrophe in your country. She did that. And she actually had to mitigate the actions of her government in terms of what they were doing to their own energy supply industries. Hence, the DOLE was created. The DOLE was then expanded into a social safety net component to look after more people. So, now we've got the basis in terms of some components that first world countries have. Namibia is not there as yet. Hence the reason why we've got to work at something that gets us into that component. Now, I did not touch on my literature review as much in last night's session. And I see that the phone line is flashing here in front of me, guys. Can I just ask for a little bit of patience? I said from 7 o'clock. Let's be a little bit patient. Come through from 7, just after the ad break. Then we can get into your contributions. Please remember, or write them down if you can remember to do so. And then we can get into it just past 7. Now, education and training and its impact on the economy. So, an excess supply, or let's understand this. The key takeaways is that the knowledge and skills of workers available in a labor supply are a key determinant for both businesses and economic growth. So, industries with higher education and training requirements tend to pay workers higher wages, right? Right? We have consensus on that understanding. Differences in training levels are a significant factor that separates developed and developing countries. You see, that one key phrase right there, is key in understanding how are we going to bridge the gap to the fourth industrial revolution. How are we going to get there? How are we going to get there? How? We've got to ask this question. This is where you come in with critical thinking capabilities. How are we going to get there? It's not about solutions or problem solving. Well, in actual fact, it is problem solving to an effect, because you already see that there would be a problem somewhere. There would be a problem somewhere. But how do we get there? How, if we are here and we want to be there, how do we get there? Right? Now, there are various templates that exist in the world. I'll give you one in terms of Mao Zedong's social experiment, doing away with a class system in our country. But obviously, we are not here to become a one-party state, nor have or banish religious beliefs in that same sense, nor try to instill one or other kind of revolution. I mean, that was China's concern, and that was what China decided to do. I'm giving you that example because China is the only country in the world, in a space of 50 years, they took themselves from technically developing status to first world status. 50 years. There's no country that has done that. It's one of the things that has always baffled and also impressed economists and historians and even, you know, people that look at how this was possible. But here's the thing. There was a lot of damage that was also caused in Chinese society and in the Chinese socioeconomic structures. You see, if you had to go to any country in the world, they will tell you the importance of universities. Now, Mao Zedong had something against academics. We've got to understand the facts. These are the facts. I'm not in storytelling mode. I'm not in, you know, in fairy tale or la la land. These are the facts. The man had something against academics. He had something against academics for some reason. And he also had something against a class-based system. You know, when you have a working class, a middle class, and a upper class. Or, you know, the high, you know, people that live in affluent areas of a city, stuff like that. For example, people like here in Klein Windhoek or in Kleine Cooper, or, you know, the high class neighborhoods where the business leaders as well as also the political leaders stay and live. They live in these areas. Middle class areas are now, for example, like the Comestals or the Ochumises or the Rocky Crests. Who else is there? What's this other one here on the other side of Windhoek? Simbabasia is one. Windhoek North is one. Windhoek West is one. So that's middle class. Lower class is then when you look at parts of Karatura, for example. You go into the informal settlements or the new extensions to those informal settlements. And Mao Zedong didn't want that scenario to exist. Now, it's noble in theory. If you look at it in your head, it's noble. But he went one step further. Academics, well, they shouldn't enjoy the privileges at one stage. Now, universities, guys, are actually key. Now, you see, the Chinese, in all their, you know, in their impressive, because it was impressive. I mean, 50 years. Europe took a good 300 years to get where they are. And in between, Europe had a whole bunch of wars with themselves. It took them 300 years. And also through acts of colonialization for them to get where they are. So technically, Europe got to a spot based upon the riches, the resources, and the wealth from other continents and parts of the world. China did it on their own, with their own stuff. But there's another example I want to give you. But this example is a little bit more complex than Finland, nor China. This is India. You see, if you had to look at India, which is another country with 1 billion plus people, They have one of the world's oldest universities on this planet. One of the world's oldest universities. Universities are key, guys. Now, besides my discussion that I gave you on Sunday with regards to my Sunday morning take with regards to the Benin Bronzes, that cultural discussion, that historical one, I noted to you there that there are the importance of universities, of how they sometimes also help. And some of them, obviously, they don't have such a good, you know, a good side to them. But some of them actually have a very historical reference. You see, universities, if you go to the United States, universities that housed the various historical figures from the United States' founding, the likes of Benjamin Franklin, who was an inventor, a historian, a scientist himself, an economist, a lawyer. I don't know where this man had the time to do all these things, but obviously things have sped up from then. If you had to go to places like Europe and, you know, the very famous University of Canterbury and Oxford in the UK, the University of Sorbonne in France, there's a whole bunch in Germany, there's the ones in Italy as well. I mean, they carry with them that weight of historical reference. It carries weight. Now, obviously, they do have a high level of, you know, if you want to be there, you've got to earn that level to be there. In an educational sense, not just your pocket sense in terms of your bank account or the ability to afford, but you've got to get there. I've got to get there. It was one of the reasons also why if you had to go to France, if you had to take France's reference or France's sort of like, or reference France, the country. But before that, we've got a quick ad.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
The International University of Management, IUM, witete umbo no namba no kushivefa kuja. Umanjirorongo odurataya academic year 2023. Ukapatruka enderera pa ife ulikore paparoe mo education. Ukarolongi fikora ile ukufe o health and social science. Oshoma ifano information and communication technology. O strategic management and leadership. Na otaimonika no tourism. Osho hospitality and event management. Business administration ikuterera. Environmental studies and postgraduate studies at Shota de Monica. Wherede, Oto Monica ko website www.ium.edu.na. Iro tarere po embiro da IUM di kulipo pepe. Mo venduka, monkore nguru, monkwe diva, no mompae, Ota de Monica. Wherede to hangi kongo di ya venduka. 061 ongodi ne natonatu oma vedi hamano inda komesho kufetokoro liri monjira toiko mbona kui wainerao pamwena IUM.
Now coming back from our brief break right there, and as mentioned, the phone lines will be open from now, but I just want to get this one sentence in, is that you had to look at, besides the historical references to certain components, the reason why there's a difference between developed and developing countries is because at universities is where you concentrate research and development, is where you indicate or provide value to your economy, to the country that you are based in. Now, last night's reference in terms of which you had to look at every province of South Africa, it had its own unique higher education facility there, except for the Western Cape, as well as also, or as it is known, the Western Province, as well as also Gauteng Province, which has more than two universities housed in it. And that's beside the network of private institutions, because in South Africa, you can only achieve the status of university if you are deemed a government or public university. So those that have the name university in them are actually have the president of South Africa as the chancellor of the university. Now, for more, just let's try and get some of those calls in. I saw that the phone line was flashing, but you can still come through for that caller that tried to get through. 083-288-401. Also, guys, there is no limitation, but I still stand by what I said last night. Why don't we have a development plan, even in our education component? Because, you see, for us running to every investor, and I'm literally going to use the sentence, for us going to every investor or every investor conference platform, inviting investors, the investors want to know what kind of labor capability can they tap into. Are they going to compete for a very limited labor base, meaning people with very few capabilities or very few skill sets? And, you know, there is not much wiggle room. Then you end up with them importing or bringing in experts or people from, or executives, not experts. Let's remove the word experts. Experts is a bit subjective. It's not objective in its sense. But let me rather say they bring in people from the home country from where the company or the investor investing company comes from. And then we as Namibians have an issue when foreigners are brought in. But the thing is, we didn't bring our part. You see, the representatives of our country, when they go to events or international conferences to invite investors to Namibia, they know that there's a limitation in terms of the skill set and also the level at which Namibians are qualified at. They know it. They know it. They know it. And they know when Namibia gets looked at on whatever reference or ranking system, either by the World Economic Forum or by UNDP one and its affiliate and the World Trade Organization, they can see Namibia ranks how far. That's not just from literacy rates, but that's also in terms of the expertise levels, in terms of the graduates that are produced. They know it. Now, the thing is, the onus falls on you, on me, to upskill. To upskill. It's not the blanket statement that our president sometimes likes using for the youth in our country in terms of go and create jobs or create your own. No, it's not that. Let's remove that. It's a concept of some people don't want to open up a business, but some people actually want to be paid for the studies, for the investment they made into an education background. And we need to bring our part. You need to provide your part there. So let's get the first call in. Let's hear their contribution. Eagle FM, good evening. Hello? Hello? All right. Seems that I wasn't getting any answer right there. But still, you can come through 083-288-401. Let's hear what you guys have to add. Now, another key takeaway is an economy's productivity rises as the number of educated workers increases, since skilled workers can perform tasks more efficiently. Skilled workers can also provide more expertise and investment back into an organization or a company. Hence, the company then starts or can provide more advanced services and skills to a market in an economy. Do you see my train of thought, guys? Do you understand what I'm getting at? Are we on the same page? Because the initiative here is, you see, the ability to make money function in an economy. And if you have highly skilled labor in a country, the opportunity is there that everyone can tap in and provide their skill sets to the best bidder. It's almost like a tendering process, you know, but still, you can. And more investments will take place. Let's get the next call in on this. Eagle FM, good evening.
Oh, okay. I thought the first caller was going to come. Maybe it's not there. Let me just take a chance. How are you?
Finally, Uncle Bona. How are you doing?
Yeah, so thank you for the impressive kind of lecture. I think this time around, you are actually going very serious. Perhaps you have discovered that we are also letting you down and letting the president down. Especially when it comes to the kind of motivational words that he's giving unto us.
Mm.
It's actually, I've never sat in the class and somebody tells me that whether it's a lecture or whatever, or interaction, in wherever I come from up to now, where somebody will tell me, yes, so get educated, get these things, and go and look for, and go and get employment from the whoever. I said they always say, go and look and create for employment. So that is not my issue. My issue here is that I just wanted to agree with there, because if we ourselves here, more especially, because I call this one, this is a very, very important platform. And we must use it at to maximize our benefit, with, even with the little knowledge that we, information that we have, okay? So that we can then help others who might be listening to us as to how and the way, you know, things like that, where the opportunity might be arising, you know, might be happening. So now, when you look at the cabinet, approved business rescue advice. When you look at some of these things, there are a lot of, you remember this committee, I think you have touched most of these things, the business and issues like on these things. Even how to rescue our most of our situation through education. Okay? And I must agree with you that when it comes to social safety net, I think, I don't know what the status statistic is now, but we were on the top. Okay. The other thing that, of course, this, according to this, what I'm saying here is that many a times we are actually, and like, you know, I don't know. So this business issues that you are always talking about, it helps us. When the education and the some of this long-term capital project, because it's one of those things, recommendation that came in that, as well as perhaps maybe to understand also some of this act and regulation and things like that. Sometimes we talk about to municipal bylaws. And you are talking about, since you are talking about international, private, and the government, international investors coming together, local business coming together, putting our idea together, not about capital, because everybody talks about capital. But when you hear from these young entrepreneurs, those who are succeeding there, they haven't started with a lot of money. Musa was here, he was telling us that you almost started with 3,000 to buy the machines. Are we getting inspired by these things? Or we are listening more about those people who are trying to confuse us, many, not confuse us, but I mean, to conflict our interests, our desires, because we know our own expectation, our own desire, and our own weakness and strength and things like that. Are we listening to more to them? Because here people are talking about local authority ventures, you know, they are the local level there. Today I was hearing about Nanjaba or Kalongo there, how they proclaimed that thing. It now developed to the village, what, the village council and things like that. My question now, last one, is that if we are, you know, I know people always think, I don't understand. When you say South Africa, I know South Africa is it's a big country. I mean, it's in terms of economies, they are very strong. Okay? Where did they get their strength?
From where?
Where did they get their strength? Just like the European that you are talking about, because they developed their industry using other people's resources. Isn't it what has happened here? That's why you have got every state there in South Africa, like you were saying yesterday, you have got a university. The clinics that those long this capital project, long-term project, but we are also looking at the small ones here. Where we, our small ones, are we getting together? So let's listen to and try to cultivate a culture of reading and listening. And see where are the prospects. You can't just, don't just listen, because there are politicians there who are talking, and when they talk, I don't know whether they were told in their university that, yes, go and look for employment for we only grant because we, some people are, have got special skills, professional skills.
Exactly, exactly, Angabona. But just to add, Angabona, before, and I want, and I also want you just to have a look at this. The, it's something very unique to South Africa. Even though I don't like using South, I personally don't like using South Africa as a yardstick. But, I mean, apartheid benefited no one if you were not of a specific skin color. It, apartheid didn't benefit anyone. But the thing that the South Africans did, and it's one of the pains that I personally have, is that they realized they were a colony themselves through the British, but they realized that in order for you to do your own thing, you cannot rely on who was your former master. And it's the same destiny that we have to take. And we've
of
got,
course.
And we've got to go, you know, the old saying of go and be in control of your own destiny.
That's take the ball on its own, horn. And
exactly.
That is exactly what you are doing.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you are doing. But those efforts are being discouraged. How many times when we come here and we say, hey, there's an opportunity here. Now if I talk, you know, I have got a notebook here for you who from your university here. I've got a notebook. I know my children will have some kind, well, not children, those people whom they were able to have some access to my libraries and other things. Because we definitely have to create this kind of a library there with books so that our children in the village there, they will come, they read. When we are giving them this kind of information here, how are we going to get there if we cannot? Because some of these opportunities that are there is for us to be on our own.
Yeah. It's for us to lead our own way.
To lead our own way.
Yeah.
But when they have now, because they are saying, the minister of Kate Nangope from Head was here, that he was telling us about how they are investing and improving those district hospitals and put this thing so that our doctors, those who are finishing, those who are
starting. Just mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from $345 Namibian per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit paratus.africa/NA for more information.
Sorry, Angabona.
Maybe I'll continue with my point tomorrow because there are so many issues that we need to discuss related to how to upgrade our skills. Because like now, we don't necessarily need to go to university back. We just go for maybe these functional skills. And most of those companies who are funding, like this, the establishment of fund, this in funding of the, then there are many now. It is actually, they mentor you. They give you the skills.
Yeah.
How to finance you, how to, you know, do your bookkeeping and everything. They do it for you.
Yeah.
In the proposal here, how many of you have you challenges to come and bring your proposal and things? And that is one of the difficult, perhaps, things. But it's not so difficult. People are just threatened by the word. Business plan. So let's see how we can come together and see how we can take our country forward.
Exactly, exactly.
So not necessarily creating doubt, creating hopelessness, creating the, you are making like life is so difficult as if you know how to go through the life here. Because most of these people that are doing these things, they are also in the social safety network.
Yeah.
This vulnerability.
And the aim is to get people out of it or to ensure that, you know, it's there as a support system for the what if. But it's not that people should be able, like too many people fall into it.
No, I'm talking about the professors who normally professors here. Trying to, who normally comes and give us some advice. Yes, the government doesn't do this. Oh, go and do the thing. Oh, yeah, he's not doing this. And they are not seeing this type of opportunity here. And what they are creating, you know how much people we are leading to death now. Sometimes with our statement, negativity. So we are telling the people there that, my friend, with your skill and what, you will not get a job. You will not get funding. What will that person do? To go and commit suicide.
We don't know, Angabona. We don't know.
That is it. Or if you are telling me that no, you will never get a job, this country is no, it's no way. And what you, and the person you are talking to, somebody who has got a qualification there, who has got the mind to do something, you are telling the person that even if you go to the development level of Namibia or Asili or Agri-Fi, you will never get an assistant. Mm. What are you doing? Are you not killing the people?
Well, yeah.
Thank you very much.
No problem, Angabona. Thanks for coming through. Now, there was one key point that was made right there, but I'll keep that main point just for a little bit later. Let's get the next caller in. Eagle of M, good evening.
Yes, Dwight, good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm good, Dwight. I was angry last night when someone came in to convoke a charge against it, apartheid. I told them that our education failed because of apartheid.
Well, you have the opportunity tonight. You have the opportunity. Just don't mention names, but you can.
I'm not going to mention any names. But we need look for us to be able to address the elephant in the room. We must call a spade a spade.
Yeah,
that's the only way we can go. Look, you can't look after 32 years of independence, but you are still blaming apartheid. Look, we have people who are looking after government school. Where is their children going to school? They're going to private school. You understand? People who are looking after government hospital, where are they going to the hospital? Private hospital.
Yeah.
Now, you are coming to the end say, no, our education system is bad because of apartheid.
Yeah.
No, man. Dwight, we must come to reality. 32 years of independence is enough.
Yeah.
More than drafting policies, getting in the... Look, even this, Dwight, what is this? This thing they call it a conference for... That was not a conference for education.
Yeah.
It was a conference for political elites to claim SNP. Have you seen Professor Joseph Bissou? Have you seen Professor Matiangu De? Have you seen... Dr. Katenda, have you seen Dr. Job Sipulampata? Have you seen all those academics?
No, I don't.
Dr. Bernard Dalsiku, have you seen Dr. Ellen Andun? All those academics. Where have you seen any education conference being attended by politicians? What's the problem? Some of the people that are there, even failed grade 10. You see?
Yeah.
How can they go to a conference to put up curriculum that other people's children should be educated about? That was not an education conference.
Yeah.
So when you call a conference that you want it to be a result, you must call academic, maybe 60 academic. Yeah? Then what those 60 academic bring on the table, the agenda for the academic, then you send it to all the 14 regions.
So that everyone gets on the same page.
Yes.
Everyone has insight.
Yes. You can't bring in politicians. And you are calling it an education conference. So because now they are regretting when they removed the grade 8, 9, and from secondary school with hostel and all these things that they do, they are regretting now. That's why they want to go back to the drum table. But they already make an education scandals. So it won't pay. What they must do is they might just reverse back to the previous educational systems. And they come up with a new education in Daba, which is technocratic. People like that I mentioned, not politicians.
Yeah. Because the main thing is, if you have academics who know what they want to see in a university classroom. And it's a good point you made, because there was at one stage here at NUST or at Polytechnic, because I am a NUST alumni. One of my fellow classmates said, some of the first years got here with excellent marks, but they cannot speak English or they fail in certain subjects. Well, I know English is actually a negative for all of us as Namibians, because English is not an indigenous country, but if we have made a language our national language, We should all play at the same party, and the resources must be there to strengthen everyone's ability to speak English. Now you get to NUST, which is a very technical university, and people are failing a mathematics subject, or they are failing a science subject, just because there's a gap that has been realized between grade 12 and first year university. Now, how do you expect to produce if people are failing a subject just because of English?
Yes, you see, great. Dr. Ben Adams, who was educated during apartheid, Dr. Ellen Andume also, I challenge, and this is what I say, and this everyone who has seen this during COVID-19.
Yeah.
President Adeyemi has said, please, the West and the Chinese, don't discriminate us against the medicine. My question is, since 1975 or whatsoever, okay, let me say 1990, because they were saying that thing is that time is apartheid.
Yeah.
Even though we have some of the best academics that were educated during apartheid. Now, the question is, that I'm asking, from 1990, there is not enough people are being sent to China, to Cuba, to United States and whatsoever. Now, during COVID-19, we have witnessed it when our government is begging again, please, developed country. My question is, when we send people abroad to study, do Namibia not taught in the same lab, in the same classroom as those people abroad where we send them, and they can be able to produce a panado? But where people that we send to school, but they are just being taught how to remember when to check a temperature, when to give panado, when to book you for a checkup.
Yeah.
You understand? You understand? Why Namibia scholars, academics, especially doctors, why they don't go to rep or institution to say, we are trying to make a stride as Namibia to make HIV/AIDS medicine? Why is not happening in this country? And why, if it's not happening now, when it's going to happen? Because we are tired of these people that are just being taught to remember, not to think. But when we are speaking, these people cost taxpayers money. But when we speak, people come to say, it's true, they can't dismiss. Until when? Until when?
Yeah, and it creates a dependency system because, like you mentioned, just last year, South Africa was the one being looked at for making a COVID vaccine. Now, they skipped Namibia, they skipped Botswana. Both countries have medical facilities and medical universities. Why did they go to South Africa? So,
exactly.
It's a question of reinvesting in education. Reinvesting.
Yes, and these are the things. Look, guy like me, Dwight, it's what I say. I don't speak propaganda. I speak things what I know. Even though people think when I speak about Chinese people, they think I'm not anti-Chinese. I can give you a case study again for Pegut. If you check Pegut, the government of Namibia, because it does not want to send people to school to study so that they can be able to manufacture cars. You know what is happening here? When the engines and the door and the bonnet and the mirror are coming, are being imported from France to Namibia. Namibian here, they already know this engine is belong to this car, this mirror is belong to this, and to the specific model. You understand? But in South Africa, you send peace. You don't send a full assembled mirror. You send a piece. You don't send a full assembled door. You send a piece. Even the engine does not belong to what model of the car. So South African made this. They assemble that engine in South Africa and they put it together and they align it which model of the car. When the engine are being sent to Namibia, they already belong to a specific car. My question is, why don't you want to send people to school to study? And that's why Pegut went in conflict with the SACL agreement. Because SACL agreement says any country that's part and parcel of SACL, if you are importing raw material, you must import it in pieces.
Mm.
So it will charge less duty, which VAT, local VAT and local VAT and the local charges, because those commodities come and create job.
Yeah.
Now, this one, they are charging full VAT because the parts were already assembled from France.
Yeah.
You see, the money that the Namibian government is paying on VAT is even two times the price, even when they sell the car. That's why to demo us, the government was, look, they think they can go behind the door, then bring in parts from France, and when the car is assembled here, then they say it was made in America. Unfortunately, the Ascuda World, where we register SD500, when you are importing in the item, when you bring in those parts, when you register, it's already saying France.
Yeah. Yeah?
Now, when you want to export that car, even if you put the car was produced in Namibia, it's underlined red until you put it to France.
Yeah.
You see, because we are used to corruption, they think they can also cheat on the system. But unfortunately, the system cannot allow it. So the aim here, they might just send people to school. People must go study. Yeah, we must not try to capitalize and other people are making cook and jam, and here we want to boast and think, yeah, Namibia now is producing car and what else. People must go to school, people must get the correct education, and what I'm saying, there should be an indaba that must be called for education, but not politicians.
Yeah.
We want academics.
We want experts, professionals.
Yes, bro. And we must stop blaming apartheid, because it's 32 years since independence. And still, we don't even produce a toothpick. I was laughing when you mentioned it last night. We don't even produce a toothpick.
No, but we have to avoid the toothpick reference because it is so obvious. We still cannot produce a toothpick. But
jy het jou laat besny.
Yep.
Dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie frakseer nie?
Dit was net so effens seer, maar dis die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dis soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dis die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Alright, you just have 10 seconds to wrap up.
Yes, wait for me, yeah. Thank you for me to round up great, ne? Look, for us to be serious, ne? We must call education in Daba. If maybe they put academic, if they don't know what they are academic, I mentioned Professor Joseph Diso. Those are the academics I'm talking about. Dr. Bernard Ausiku, Dr. Elena Ndume, Dr. Job Spool Ampanda. Those are the academic. Dr. Professor Matengo. Those are the academic. The Dr. Ferdinand. You understand? Those are the academics we are talking about. And when you call them, it's like what you always say. Even with these things of natural resources, like when people are talking about the mining, we must call the natural resources in Daba. Let us go to the table and discuss what is the problem. Where are we losing? Where are we getting? But before politicians want to claim S&T because they want to go attend a function in Vinduku, someone who wants to make a curriculum for you for grade 12 while you failed grade 10. We won't go anywhere in the country. These people can refuse to listen to the truth. We are here to express ourselves real, without fear or favor, not even bank a relationship. Because it's biblical, it's ethical, it's right to tell the truth. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for coming through.
Sharp.
And on that note, it brings us to the end of tonight's program here of the Business and Economic Zone. Guys, I am not done on education. Education is a vast topic itself. That's one of the reasons why I kept it for this week. It has to follow on right after the Fourth Industrial Revolution discussion. On that note, stay tuned for the matriarch. She is here. She is here in person. She wants me to introduce you. I don't want to do that. I have to skedaddle. But on that note, please enjoy your night. Please enjoy yourself in her company. She is here live. And on that note, let's see each other and enjoy the rest of your programming on the number one talk radio station of Eagle FM.